Good afternoon. Today is Friday, July the 6th, 196th day of the new year. Joining us this afternoon, Eureka City Manager, not with his replacement, Dave Tyson.
Not yet.
Well, Dwayne came in last week and he had his
adjunct. His interim.
Yes.
Yeah. Not his replacement.
Correct.
Okay. Well, I can bring an interim.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I'll just pick
find
one.
Somebody else.
Pick
one. Yeah.
Some. Oh, no, that would be, they'd be too competent then.
Yeah. Yeah. They might like the celebrity status thing that you've achieved, huh? Yeah,
right.
Yeah. So we'll get a little update what's going on throughout the city of Eureka. Oh, well, he found the surprise I was going to do in the first segment. He's smiling, but he's not talking, so we'll drag it out from Mr. Tyson when we return.
I'm Jim Mongi, principal of St. Mary's Catholic School and Preschool. Our preschool program is designed to teach and model basic educational and social skills that children will need for success in kindergarten. Students learn about numbers, shapes, and colors. They begin pre-reading and writing. They develop problem-solving and sharing skills. They learn that school is fun. St. Mary's Preschool provides the foundation for a lifetime of learning. Give us a call today at 822-3877, license number 125-401-910.
Good afternoon, KINS. News and Information Times, 3:13. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. But before we do our quote this afternoon, do you want Bobby Jones or you want Byron Nelson?
You know, I'm not a really big golf guy. But
either way, it's going to go right over your head, I know.
If I can bring in my own quote book, I'll bring in a swimming quote book.
Whoa. And it doesn't have bubbles all over it, right?
So golf quotes would be
Byron Nelson or Bobby Jones?
Bobby Jones.
There you go. No one ever swung too slowly.
That would be a good practice for me, I think.
So I would
my once a year of playing golf.
I could then broach that so you sound somewhat intelligent in selecting that quote as talking about diligence and proper planning.
And swinging slowly?
Yes, and getting it done properly.
Okay.
That gets you to the Hall of Fame.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I did get to the Hall. I'm not there yet.
Oh, that reference. Yeah. Oh, yeah. So you brought that up, huh?
No, you did.
Oh.
I thought we weren't going to talk about it.
We weren't. But thanks for bringing it up.
Okay.
Yeah, okay. 4th of July. When?
On the 4th.
No, not when. When. I see. We're going to have fun all show long.
For the next 6 months.
Oh,
we could do Abbott and Costello.
I'm not sure which one I would be able to fit the profile on. As I pointed out to a couple of folks, it appeared as if the city of Samoa outdid the city of Eureka as far as fireworks this year.
Really?
Would you like to comment?
I don't remember the city of Samoa having fireworks.
Well, they had them. I don't know. Did you guys go down to and watch?
I watched the city of Eureka's fireworks.
From what vantage point?
Right behind the big slide that was down by the carousel.
Oh, okay. So
foot of D Street.
If you would have turned 90 degrees left, you would have seen a spectacular fireworks presentation.
Did the
they went up.
Cogen plant blow up?
No.
Sorry,
was,
Bob.
But it was... They had all the, it appeared as if they had many of the things that the barge had also, the ones that go up, the mushrooms and the big percussion ones and the rat-a-tat-tats and all that. I was surprised they were able to purchase this stuff.
Oh, I guess I should have looked.
Yeah. So we actually, in some vantage points, we saw three fireworks. Well, four. The one from the goofballs in the neighborhood, Samoa Arcata, and Eureka. So it wasn't to rival San Diego, but close.
Well, no, we almost had that at the end of the show when the goofball sent a flare up over Old Town at 10:30. That was exciting. That was probably the most excitement of the evening to watch where the flare was going to land in Old Town.
I did see that go up. Where did it come down?
I don't know, but you know, that's very troublesome when we have a downtown and Old Town made out of wood. And that's probably our biggest fear of 4th of July is that type of activity where we have our own safe and sane fireworks show offered by the citizens of Eureka and the business owners of Eureka. Certainly it's sponsored through the city of Eureka, but it's paid for by. And then we have crazy people that go down there with their own fireworks, and it's very troublesome for public safety. And fortunately, I think I was fairly close by, and I know the fire and police personnel were close at hand, and they I don't know if there was an arrest made, but there was certainly an approach to a group of people that the flare came out of. It's just, you know, people need to be very careful with our city. It's very old and very susceptible to fires that way. So.
Well, good. At least you didn't say gnarly and crippled. I
mean, no. We have a beautiful town, and it's just that, you know, it's 4th of July is something that we get very nervous about.
Obviously, we're in the middle of the tourist season also. You said pretty and beautiful, and I suppose it depends on what you look at. Many of us who are locals, grew up here, we know what it used to look like. We know what it does look like. How frustrating is it for you and the others who kind of are charged with the appearance mm-hmm. of the city to see some of these, either they're unoccupied rentals, foreclosed houses, druggy houses that nobody's concerned about, the gutters in front of them, the lawns with them, the general unkempt nature that it seems maybe 5 to 10% of the homes in the city-ish, certainly a rough figure, they just kind of look like, well, we're waiting for a flare so we can have a fire exercise and start all over again.
Well, it's frustrating for the city council, the citizens, the city staff to see properties in disrepair, and we do have projects and programs to try to deal with, you know, derelict properties. It takes a lot of resources to get after those, especially those properties that, you know, have landlords that either are absentee landlords or those landlords that just really don't care about their properties and let them get in that state. And that's many of those properties that we do see.
KINS, News and Information Times, 319.
Hi, this is Eric from Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai. You know, I think a lot of people forget that we have a great selection of used cars available. We might not have the inventory that some of the larger dealerships do, but I know our quality used cars stack up against anybody else's in the county. Plus the fact, if we don't have something on our lot, come on in, see us, and we can probably find it for you. We have a quality selection of some very nice used cars, what most people were looking for. But again, if we don't have it on our lot, we can probably find it for you at Northwood Chevrolet Hyundai.
Hi, my name is Mark Diaz from Northwood Hyundai, and I invite you to come down. We're open from 8:30 in the morning till 6 o'clock at night for your shopping convenience. Closed Sundays to be with family. And as my dad used to say, don't bring much money. You won't need it. That's Northwood Hyundai, 7th and D, Eureka.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 324. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. Dave, when you're considering how the city looks, what the city can do in trying to attract or retain current business, what are some of the things that you look at that are critical for the retention or for the attraction of a business that are in this area of cosmetic? And we're not talking hundreds and thousands of dollars to pave this street or sidewalk that. I mean, those things are extraordinary, just the regular stuff.
Well, aside from all of the, you know, the things we've talked about here before, as far as incentives and those kinds of programs, on just the city, the aesthetics of the city, I think we went through a period of time up until about a year and a half ago. We had no street sweeping program. We had cut our parks and maintenance staff to very bare bones, and eliminated any kind of summer help when it comes to maintaining the city's parks and other infrastructure as it relates to aesthetics. So this council that we have now that was elected a couple of years ago were elected along with the voter-approved Measure O, which provided some funding to help protect public safety as well as putting back some of these programs like street sweeping and park maintenance. And we've been very aggressive last year, but more so this year because it took us a while to ramp up from those years where we didn't have funding. We are now attempting to get after, you know, cleaning our public parking lots and cleaning up our streetscapes and partnering with SWAP, which is the Sheriff's Work Alternative Program. You see them out working. The mission, the rescue mission in Old Town, working with Main Street, is helping us with some of our parks. Teen Challenge, we've used them to help us with some of our streets. Street sweeping is back in action, and the council just added some money to the budget this year to enhance the street sweeping program. We've expanded our SWAP. So those are the kinds of things we're doing to beautify the city and to kind of reclaim our streets, and we call it our Clean Streets Program. Along with that, we've enhanced the budget with a code enforcement officer who will, once hired, will help coordinate our abatement programs and code enforcement programs. So we'll go after the derelict properties and the absentee landowners so that, you know, we keep properties in Eureka a little more up to code and a little cleaner than they are now. So there are lots of things in that area that we're doing to try to make the city more aesthetically pleasing. And, you know, it's a beautiful city. It has a lot of great, you know, viewscapes along the waterfront and in our old town and our wonderful neighborhood. So we need to keep enhancing those attributes.
Does that include city parking lots?
Yes.
Because I noticed, because I was driving by a buddy of ours whose former location, the parking lot, is fronts on 6th. Jeez, look at all those dandelions. Boy, that wouldn't have been the case when they were there. And then I drove another block. And there were all the city vans all lined up. And kind of as a little cushion between the roadscape and the parking lot was the same motif. With the challenges with the fire, with the challenges with roads, all the other things that are going on, where does pulling the weeds fit? Or does it fit? Is it fair to consider that should be done?
I, you know, for one, as a private citizen, but also as a manager, I feel that it's a very high priority. Public safety is the number one priority for probably every council I've worked from 1980 to the present. And I think our councils in Eureka have proven that by showing that, you know, 80% of our budget goes to public safety. However, the aesthetics and how someone feels about their community is also important. And the fact that there's that parking lot, I know which one you're talking about because I drive by it, and weeds in the gutters and weeds in parking lots drive me nuts. And my staff gets to hear about it. And when we didn't have the monies to deal with it, you know, I didn't make as big a deal about it because it was difficult to take care of everything we had as far as public parks and city buildings with five people. Now that we've been able to expand those budgets a little bit to bring in some temporary help, you know, we're all trying to make a little more of a difference. So I think, you know, to answer your question, it's a huge thing for the city to have an appearance that is clean and that is well kept, and that people are prideful about their surroundings. And from that, you get better fire protection and you get better law enforcement because people are interested and people are involved in their community. One of the things that came out this last year was, you know, the action taken by the Chamber of Commerce to have people adopt streets or adopt a block or adopt a park. We had an adopt a park program, but the Chamber of Commerce took that and expanded it to adopt streets and things, and that's been a, you know, a successful program as well.
KINS, News and Information Times, 3:30. We'll be back with more from Dave Tyson.
Now a minute of sunshine for Humboldt. We think of the Coast Guard as being gallant lifesavers, and they are. However, there's another side of the Coast Guard, faceless bureaucrats far away. 3 years ago, one wrote to the Humboldt County Fair Association to say they wanted back the Mendocino Lighthouse lens that's been atop the county fair's main entrance for 63 years. The fair offered to build a new building for the lens. A citizen group, Save Our Lens, began to raise money. Then the Ferndale Museum offered to give the lens a new home. Most letters to the Coast Guard have gone unanswered. 2 weeks ago, though, in an undated letter, the Coast Guard warned Ferndale it would soon send a Lempus to begin removing the lens. They didn't say when he'd arrive or give his name, but we think it's Grinch. In Rome 2,000 years ago, the famous orator Cicero spoke of the arrogance of officialdom. If he were here today, he'd put those Coast Guard bureaucrats in that category. Sunshine for Humboldt is a nonprofit civic association dedicated to the people and places that make this a good place to live.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 3:35. We're back to Talk Shop this afternoon. With always paying attention, City Manager for Eureka, Dave Tyson.
Always trying to.
Try. Yeah.
Never know when somebody's going to come up from behind you.
Yeah, well, yeah. And why? Chief selection process. Chunking along, is it where you want it to be? Is it where you hoped it would be?
Yes. We went through very long selection process. We interviewed seven potential candidates initially, and have narrowed that down to the top candidates. And right now we're doing what I guess we would call a background check. We're doing that on the candidate, one in particular at this point.
Don't they have that going in just to be a cop?
Sure.
Or is this a different emphasis?
Yeah,
area?
This is, well, generally these individuals have been in law enforcement for many years and probably haven't had a background done, certainly haven't had a background done by us. And we just want to make sure that we do all of our due diligence before we make a final job offer. So we're close to making that offer. I'm hoping that at the first meeting in August, I'll be able to make a formal announcement of who the selected candidate is. So
what is the process? You're down to the skinnies.
Yes.
You got a couple of folks. I would imagine all of them would accept. Otherwise, they wouldn't have made it that far along in the process.
Correct.
You make the call. They sign the paper. You then make the announcement, and the city council finds out then?
No. What I'll be doing is, you know, this is a significant position, obviously, in the city. I've involved some council members in this process already, along with community members, in selecting to get it to this point. Once the background is completed and I've made my choice of which candidate I feel will do the best job for the city, I will let the council know who that individual is, and I'll invite them to have their own conversations with the individual. Certainly they can't share amongst themselves.
So I was wondering, in a formal setting or just here's the phone number? Give
yeah,
a call,
more of an informal opportunity for them to meet. So there's some opportunity for them to get a feel for the individual. Like I said, I've already involved two of them in the process, so they know the candidates already to some degree. So that'll afford them that opportunity. My recommendation, even though I get the opportunity to select the individual, the city council ultimately makes that final decision, and they do it in a formal setting, which is at a council meeting. But
so confirmation of
what
choice.
I do, right. Both coming and going. They get to approve my appointments to department heads, and they get to approve or have to approve the termination of any department head in a process.
But those happen in public session?
Yes, they ultimately do happen in a public session.
I thought personnel was kind of the one thing that the Brown Act didn't avoid, and you can do that.
Sure, they can have a – well, these are my employees. They aren't the council's employees. The employee is afforded the opportunity to have that discussion in front of the public if they choose to. But in the case of the council, they're just approving or not approving my determination of termination. So the grounds for termination of a department head aren't necessarily discussed, just whether or not they're approving my action.
So this is kind of like in the Roman Colosseum.
Pretty much, yeah.
Thumbs down, thumbs up, and that's...
Although we found out today...
Feed them to the lions? Yeah.
Although we found out today from the state they have suspended the Brown Act, so we're going to all run amok now.
Say that again?
The state has suspended the Brown Act.
Is this to do with the budget?
Yes, because they have it's a mandated cost under the state's rules. And so, yeah, you can have your reporter look into this. But as a budget reduction means, they've eliminated the mandate of the Brown Act. So we're having a chuckle about that at
City Hall.
So
you have a meeting on Saturday.
We could have a meeting anytime.
Invite the rest of us around, yeah.
Invite you or not, notice it or not, but we have our noticing requirements in our charter. But
how much does that cost?
Well, it doesn't really cost that much money, but if you add it up amongst all public agencies throughout the state of California, I imagine it's a sizable cost.
No, all those email clicks.
That's right.
KINS, geez, what is it? You get the government you vote for. KINS, News and Information Times, 341.
At least the state government.
Yeah, we'll be back. Yeah, not those appointeds. We'll be back with more from appointed Dave Tyson.
The flame of learning is lit daily at St. Bernard's.
Hi, this is Craig Brown, Dean of Students and Campus Ministry at St. Bernard's Catholic School. We're praying in these days how we can create an even more definite presence of Christ in the world around us. We pray we all have an opportunity to stop the rush of this time of year to give profound thanks for the many blessings our Lord has showered on us.
St. Bernard's High School and Elementary School, making a difference in lives for today and tomorrow.
Good afternoon, KINS, News and Information Times, 345. We're back, final segment of the week. Dave Tyson is alongside. Dave, we're talking a little bit about business attraction with gutters and the sidewalks and things like that. There are now a number of large, some of them significant, empty storefronts. Fourth, fifth, sixth, third. Some have been occupied for decades, some not as long. When you see those, do you get the itch? I got to get on the phone. I got to call somebody. I got to get that place full. Or is that really the private sector, and even though it reflects on the city, you got too many other things, and that's not really the manager's prerogative?
We do assist the private property owners in trying to locate tenants for buildings. A lot of the commercial areas that you see along those major corridors are retail, so it's a little harder to, you know, go out and find a business that wants to go into that retail. And that we do, you know, kind of leave that up to the private business owner or property owner to locate the appropriate business to go in there. We've done things like coordinating with the arts groups to go in as an interim use of the facility just to keep something in that.
The arts stuff.
Yeah, to keep something in the space and to keep activity in the area for, you know, the continuity of the neighborhoods in the commercial areas. Where we do most of our work is with more of the professional office and those kinds of uses in the upper stories maybe of some of the buildings. We get a lot more contact from either businesses looking to expand or relocate that are office oriented, whether they're law offices, accounting offices, commercial
consultants.
Government agencies that are looking for space. Those are, you know, we do get those kinds of referrals and give those kinds of referrals for those spaces. But a lot of the storefronts that you're talking about, those are a little more difficult because they are retail. Although I would say two or three times a year, the staff and I do meet with retailers who are looking to come to our area that we try to encourage to locate in Old Town and downtown areas. And, you know, we do have, from time to time, strong interest in that. But, again, a lot of times they're looking for larger spaces that aren't available or, hey, I'd like that space. Well, there's already somebody in that space, you know, those kinds of things. But, you know, we do work at it. We do try to provide incentives, although with the loss of redevelopment, some of those are gone. Although we do still have the enterprise zone, which provides tax incentives for employment of individuals. And so that does help bring business and keep business within the city limits of Eureka.
Have you ever tried to market the leakage of the city?
Yes, we do. It's been a long time since we've done any kind of analysis on leakage. And, you know, a lot of that takes care of itself. You know, Home Depot, Target, Walmart, they and those other bigger retailers, they have stores in other locations, and they know from the information off of the credit card sales or catalog sales how much, you know, leakage that is occurring here. There was a study that we did in the late 1990s, early 2000, about leakage and major retail development that included information about leakage. And then here more recently with the development of the Marina Center project, there was information created through their economic development or economic analysis for that project that talked a great deal about leakage. But we haven't done our own leakage analysis for about 12 years.
Doesn't sound like it's going to happen under your...
Probably not in the next 5 months.
Yeah. just kind of jumped right on that one, didn't we? Oh, interesting stuff. So is there anything else that I haven't asked about that I should in the last 10 seconds?
Well, one of our major projects right now is developing this east-west rail concept and trying to get...
You going to throw some money at the study?
No, I don't think we'll... We're not going to throw public money at it, but we're trying to bring other agencies on board, if you will, support the idea. And it's getting a lot of support, both public and private.
Good deal. Well, that'll give us something else to talk about next month in addition to that induction speech.
Yep.
We've been talking shop this afternoon with Dave Tyson. Join us Monday afternoon for more Talk Shop. Till then, go out and make it a good day. Hug somebody you love. See you tonight.